Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Stop! Stop!
Hello!
Stop! I literally have to stop. Hello!
Hello!
Oh, hi!
Hello.
Hi, how are we? Oh, lovely stuff. Welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. I'm Hannah George. I'm 35 years old, which means this is a geriatric pregnancy. Yes, you're right to clap. Which, of course, in Ventnor, a geriatric pregnancy is having a baby any time after you're about 15. But welcome to the show. I will introduce to you my fellow detectives. This is Taylor Glenn. Taylor, how is the island treating you?
Hello, it's treating me very well. I love the Isle of Wight, and you love me because I've been telling you that I'm Canadian. I've made loads of friends, eh?
Katie's enjoying herself, so can I please introduce Katie Wilkins?
Hello!
Katie, you've been here for a few days.
I have. I went to your Tupnell Farm.
Yeah.
Oh, mixed reaction for your for your own farm place with fun for kids. It was good. It was good. it was the parents that were like, oh yeah. It was good. I went. I've turned into the mum that like polices the queue for the trampoline. I finally turned into my mother.
Richard will have his go. So, ladies and gentlemen, give me a cheer if you listen to the podcast. Ooh, and give me a cheer if you're new to us. Oh, and give me a cheer if you're on the Facebook group Ventnor Notice Board. Oh, it's been a fun, isn't it? I love it. Like once a week, there's at least one post that says, "Does anyone know why Boots aren't answering their phone?" Probably fucking busy, aren't they? They're probably busy. I love it. It makes me miss Ventnor. But I haven't been into Ventnor Boots for like 20 years because I remember when I was 16, I went in there to buy condoms because I'm a bit of a fucking legend. Just like to say hello to my mum and dad who are in the audience tonight. Hiya. And I always remember it because I went in and the woman behind the counter was like my friend's mum and knew my mum as they would in Ventnor. So I thought, I'm just going to sort of hide in this aisle until that woman goes. And, you know, within 10 minutes, she was gone. This other woman comes up. I didn't recognise her at all. And I was like, brilliant. OK, this is my chance. So I go up to the counter and she looks at me. And I always remember what she said to me. She said, do you want a bag, Hannah? I'll never quite forget that. So on with the show. This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. It's a true crime podcast with a twist.
Of life!
time.
Yes. For the people that haven't listened to the podcast, it is a cult, so welcome. And I'm excited because I've got an Isle of Wight-based crime tonight.
Oh.
And as I was like researching Isle of Wight-based crimes, I found a couple of great tidbits. One is, for example, there's a guy from Ventnor, James Casford. Any Casfords in? Okay. Well,
they're not going to say now.
It's probably for the best. Who, in the 19th century, held the title of being convicted for drunkenness more often than any other living man. That is Ventnor, isn't it? Wow. What a guy. So, on with the show.
Oh, wow. <Yeah. laughs> The hormones kicked in then, didn't they? Just grew another finger there. Bing. That's how fetuses work, right?
It'll finally have the six fingers it needs for Ventnor. So, I'm very excited to introduce our guest. It's a man, if you can believe it. Ooh. You might know him as the vet from the Specsavers advert. The patient who got a tap stuck up his arse in Holby City. Or most famously, the man who got me pregnant. It's my husband, Toby Williams.
I'm held to that a bit too much. Sorry about that. Hello, everyone. What a joy and a pleasure.
Just for, you know, for Men's Month, whenever we have men on the podcast, we have them on 4 men a month in November. And I will be introducing every man we have on the podcast as the man who got me pregnant. And at the end of the month, I'm going to reveal who it was. And Les Dennis has been on, so... Just saying.
That's fine with me. Fine with me. He's a great guy.
Tobes, we ask one question on this podcast, and that's Angel Trousers. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes, I have. Two stories. One is where I was the victim, another one where I perpetrated possibly the greatest crime that the sweet shop on Bellevue Road in Old Basing has ever seen. But firstly, when I was 18, I had a car, a Ford Fiesta. It was stolen.
Oh.
And a week later, I walked past it in the street.
Oh. And I came out.
Was it like seeing an ex? You're like...
Well, I panicked. I thought, well, I still had the key on me, because in those days you just had one key that did everything. It opened the door, it started the car, it opened the boot, it opened the petrol cap, and I was like, I'll just take it back.
Nice!
Yeah. So I got in, and I drove off, and I was going down the motorway.
Oh, my God!
And I realised, like, oh, something's not right with the car. And I took it to a garage, and all the wheels were different sizes. Well, I don't know.
Was it definitely your car? What if it just looked like your car and you stole someone's multi-wheeled
car? That's a pretty shit key system, though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But like, to have a Ford key. Yeah, but genuinely, that happened once when I was a kid. My mum opened the wrong car, put all our Tesco shopping in it. I was like 4, maybe my brother was 1. It had the same car seat as us. And everything. My brother got strapped in.
What?
And then she, and I was going, Mummy, it's not our car. And she was like, shut up, get in. Like, you know, it was raining. And then she sat down and she realized it wasn't our car because it had like beads on the seat. And then she was like, shit, everyone get out. I was like, I told you, because I was a really annoying 4-year-old. And then my brother wouldn't get out because he thought he preferred this car because it was it was cleaner than our car.
But the key just worked.
The key just worked.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm going to be trying all the cars with my keys
definitely,
now.
Definitely my car, because we didn't have a stereo. We had a mono.
Okay.
How old are you?
I know. It was one speaker with a tape player over the top, and they stolen my House of Pain tape. Oh. And changed all the wheels into different sizes.
Yeah, what's with this wheel shenanigans?
So, did they sell off the wheels? Like, were they going to sell it for parts, but they were using it in the meantime? Seems like a weird system.
I mean, use bricks.
Yeah, put it up on bricks.
Put it up on bricks.
But they were still doing runs into town. I get it.
It's okay, like, yeah, so it makes sense to you. Okay, great. Good. Glad
how
you sold
different
it.
Were the sizes? Like, was there a little,
oh, I mean, it was
toy
great. The car did not want to go in a straight line. It was like a clown car.
And then what happened? What did you do with it?
Oh, I just paid a lot of money to get it fixed and wished I'd never seen it.
So had you reported it to the police?
I don't think they care, do they? Like, about
no, that
cars.
Doesn't answer the question.
I reported it to my mum.
And she didn't care.
And even when I saw it, when I found it again, I was like, shall I take it back? And, it was parked next to a phone box, so I called my mum, said, like, the car's here, shall I take it? She was like, all right then. You know,
okay.
Worst advice she ever gave me.
So what did you end up getting? You just paid lots of money to get your...
To get it fixed.
Oh.
So you didn't bust them. You could have, like, done a little stakeout and saw who came back for it.
My God. Well, with the right-sized wheels. Or yeah. Or any more different kind of... Yeah, different wheels. Stabilisers. That would have helped.
Now, tell me about this trauma from the sweet shop.
It wasn't a trauma at all.
Oh. You were the fucking...
I perpetrated the crime.
Okay. Tell me the trauma you caused in a sweet
I don't know why I did it. I was quite young, maybe like 6 or 7, and I wasn't a boy that stole.
Well, unless your mum gives it the okay, right?
Yeah. It was my car. The plan just popped into my head one day, and I was like, oh, I'm going to try that, see if it works. I didn't need the bubble gum. Didn't especially want it, but I was like, that will work. I'm going to try it. And not related to the crime, but that day I did find a 5p at the bottom of the swimming pool at school. It was all like green and mango. I was like, I'll use this. And my plan was to do it in plain sight. So I put my bag over my shoulder and had it around the front. And I went up to the two women with all the sweets in the shop. And whilst they were looking at me, I picked up the 2p bubblegum and said, like, I'll have one of these, please. Oh, my money's in my bag. And then I went into my bag and came out, left the bubblegum in there and came out with my rotten 5p. And gave them that. And while they looked at it and said, can we discuss this? I picked up another one, another bubble gum, took it and took my change.
You fucking pig.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. The stolen bubble gum did not taste good.
It does feel like you paid for it, though.
I paid 2p for 2p bubble gum.
Oh, this is the heist of the century.
Wow.
It's a switch and bait.
It's basically a Ponzi scheme. This is deep shit.
Yeah.
At least you know who he really is now.
Yeah.
That's why we do this podcast.
But I wanted to steal. I wanted to steal in front of them. I wanted them to watch me do it so that.
Ew. Then your sex tape.
Did it make you feel good to trick them?
I was glad that it worked, but I wasn't glad that I'd done it. If that makes any sense.
So you weren't
I felt
like
bad.
You weren't high.
I was definitely like, I'm not doing that again. Was,
wait, were you still 18 for this one too? Did you say how old you were?
I was about 7. And I was a good boy.
Remember, do you remember that sweet shop in town? Was it called Sweets? I believe it was. Do you remember that one? And it was run by an old lady. And I always remember, I witnessed a crime in a sweet shop. In that sweet shop, it was just after Christmas, and I got a new bike, rode my bike down to the sweet shop, adorable, picked up some sweets. And as I went into the sweet shop, the old woman behind the counter had given this man the wrong change. And he was shouting at this woman. And another bloke in the sweet shop said, dude, like, calm down. Like, it's not her fault. And then I got onto my bike outside the sweet shop and those two men came out and the man who was shouting at the old women headbutted the other guy and blood went everywhere and I was there on my bike going, oh my God. I just wanted some chewits. And I remember I went home and I like threw my bike down, ran into the kitchen and I found my mum and I was just like, oh my God. And she went, what have you done with your bike? Oh, she's very good. So, Chobes, we always ask, what would you say to the person now? So maybe you either say it to yourself or the person
stole my car and changed all the wheels. Yeah. Like, what were you doing? I would love to hear. I'd love to know what that was all about. It would be fantastic.
Okay, a little bit of closure.
Why are all the wheels completely different sizes from one another?
No, fair enough. So... Who's up for solving true crime?
Yes.
Well, yes you are. So, this true crime starts in 1796 in Ryde, which as we know is full of wrong-uns. For you guys on the panel, Ryde is like a shell. So, anyone from Ryde in?
She is not happy.
Do we have security? You're very welcome. I didn't mean it. Ryde is just a town on the other side of the island where the boat comes in. So 1796, James Stallard. Any Stallards in? Okay. He was born in Ryde, and when he turns 16, he's apprenticed to a man called Old Razor Beasley.
What? Ooh. Razza.
Oh.
That's fantastic. So we just don't put effort in with names anymore. Until now. Lil Razzer in there. Yes, please. It's unisex.
Lil anyway, Razza carry on, George. Carry on. So my first question is, what job is old Razza Beasley teaching young James about? James is about 16. Ooh. It's an apprenticeship. We're in Ride. It's like 1812.
You said 17 something.
Yeah, but he's 16, so he aged. And that is how time works.
Okay. I will accept that time works.
I'm going to go with wanking.
Okay.
It's good to learn from someone who knows.
But if there's any young people in the audience and an old man offers to...
Do you know, I hadn't thought that through. I'm sticking with wanking. Wait, I meant welding. I'm so sorry.
See, I was going to say blacksmith.
Uh-huh.
But that's similar to that.
To so wanking.
Well, it's a boat town. Maybe he's training him to be a fisherman.
Nice. Okay, any advance on a wanking fisherman?
Old Razza Beasley. Does he...
Razza Beasley.
Does he own that bookshop in Ryde that's like on four levels with the outhouse out the back? I'm going to say secondhand books. Okay. That's all I know about Ryde, but they're really good.
He was taught to sail.
Hey!
Yeah, so I'd say, Katie, you were closest.
I got a little clap, thank you.
I thought, was that the woman from Ryde? Probably not. She's left, she's gone. But then as soon as he mastered sailing, he went straight into smuggling. Straight in. Ooh. And there was a time in like 1812 or whatever, but it was estimated that two-thirds... Two-thirds. Maths is impossible. Two-thirds of the Isle of Wight was involved in smuggling.
Siri, show me made-up stats. Really, is that true, though?
That's a true-ish fact, yes.
Smuggling what? Garlic?
Yeah.
Expensive theme parks.
Well... I said to Toby, use all your Isle of Wight knowledge, they'll love it.
Yeah, use it against them.
But that is my question to you, is what was big smuggling business on the Isle of Wight?
Oh, I'm going to go with wanking. No, what would they need?
I mean, secondhand books.
Well,
secondhand books. All right, they've got garlic, we know that.
Yeah. I
mean, they're self-sufficient with garlic.
People love smuggling brandy and salt. And things like that. So I'm going to say
salt
people.
Brandy.
People, okay. Well, I like when you said brandy, somebody in the audience went...
Maybe they're called brandy. This podcast is funny because, sure, I've been all jovial, but now I want to be right.
What did you say?
It. Nothing, because I want to be right. That's the only way.
Well, okay, all right. I'm gonna use logic for a moment.
Nice.
Wait, let me finish. Maybe they're smuggling stuff that has high taxes.
Right, nice.
There's wars and stuff. No, the wars are... No, but there will be wars.
There's always war, Katie.
Okay.
There's always a war.
But, you know, everything went up. But that was the Napoleonic Wars, so everything went up.
Sometimes it's just educational, guys.
I think...
Logic's different for everyone.
I think they started taxing loads of stuff. So what would they... Do you know what? I think they taxed China plates.
Hey.
I'm going to say sugar cane.
They're smuggling that.
Do you know what? It was tobacco, brandy, gin and tea.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
you need China for the
brandy.
Yeah, you do need China for the tea. So as James had grown up on the island, he had a very good knowledge of the coast and so was a very successful smuggler. However, by the 1820s, he gave up on that smuggling life. Oh. Why?
Did he meet someone and he wanted to do good for her?
Yeah, he was like, wanking's over, baby.
I think
or Toby, I'm going to pay for my two-piece suites from now on. Got a good woman.
Oh,
I think they lowered the taxes and it was no longer cost efficient to smuggle.
Okay, that's quite a good answer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is it though? I wonder whether he fell in love with a customs man.
Ooh.
Oh, like a real Romeo and Juliet thing.
Yes. Nice.
Might just pop backstage and write that now.
write that erotic novel. Basically, yeah, it was to do with the customs men, but it was to do with the customs men and the police. Basically, they got steam-powered vessels, and they were able to sort of find him in his yacht. They were faster than his yacht, and he was like, "This isn't going to work anymore because they have got a faster boat than mine." So he decides to change jobs. He's like, "Okay, I can't smuggle anymore."
Okay,
but before he changes jobs, I just want to share with you a little bit about what Captain James was like as a man, because I think when something's over 200 years old, you don't always get to know what this person is like as a person. And I found a quote, and it said, "Although he was sometimes funny and agreeable, James Stallard was by no means a pleasant man." So you feel like you know one, don't you?
Not wrong.
So by the time he gives up smuggling, James has got married to Jane. He did find that lady. And he's had a few children. So what job do you think he does? Now he's got a family to support. Does he go for something like sensible, or does he go outlandish again and do something illegal? What do you think he's up to? What's James, this unpleasant man, what is he up to?
Bus driver. That's what the Isle of Wight needs. It's dangerous, it's thrilling. Scratches an itch, doesn't it? Yeah.
Does he double down and become a con man?
Ooh, nice. Any advance on con man, Katie?
From smuggler to swindler. The like James, it. Whatever the fuck his name was, story.
I haven't got the measure of him. I can't...
I gave you that one quote, Katie!
I can't work out... I feel like he's...
He's funny and unpleasant. He's every male comedian.
All right, that then.
So he becomes a comedian.
Yeah.
So I was smuggling.
So basically, he does what a lot of people from Ventnor and the Isle of Wight do. He goes to Australia.
Oh.
Yeah, off
that's
he goes.
It's not our job.
No, it's not. It's very true. But he's heard about the discovery of gold out there. And he's got a yacht, and he's like, I guess I could make it to Australia. So he sails his yacht.
A yacht? How big is that? To Australia, for the Isle of Wight?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
When does a boat become a yacht?
Anyone from cows.
He takes his oldest son with him, who I presume is like a teenager and not 4 or 5. That'd be an absolute nightmare.
Notorious 4-year-old bubblegum thief.
But it all goes wrong for Captain James in Australia. What happens?
Hang on, he gets there. Fucking hell. Well played. Well played him.
Hats off to him. I'm surprised too. Yeah. It all goes wrong.
Yeah. Sorry if anyone needs a piss right now. I mean, no one needs one more than me, so...
Did he only bring summer clothes, but it's winter?
Okay, nice. Yeah, I'm not watching the Women's World Cup at the moment, and I'm like, oh my God, that's not Australia! But it's winter.
It's raining.
He forgot to bring his ID.
Okay, nice. Well, what happens is his son gets a fever and dies.
Hilarious.
I was going to say that.
Were you really?
Just because I thought it was funny.
To lighten the mood after death, can I just point out, because we're in a tent, I know this will not translate to the people listening. Does that look like a ladder to you, and do you want to climb it so bad? Because I just keep going like, I'm having a great time, but also, in 5 minutes, okay.
That's for the trapeze.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I know. Okay.
I mean, they've tied it up, but like, I reckon you could probably unspool that.
Right, show of hands.
Okay, sorry.
Who wants to see a pregnant woman fly? Oh, wow, a lot of hands in the air. Okay.
Drunk women solving crime.
Scattered a dee bop a doo bottle wow. Hey, it's time to give a patron shout, and I'm improvising this, so I don't know how it'll turn out. We've got Tony D, and we've got Ranny C, and it's really lucky for me that those rhyme like that. Lucy Hurst, it's hard to rhyme with Hurst unless I say she burst, but oh geez, who would want to burst? Oh, scoobity doobity doobity da ba da da wow wow wow, thank you for your support on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. Scoobity dabba doobity dada my nana wobbly get out of bow. That's not part of the URL. Don't include that.
I do apologize. Okay, so dead.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Done.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm listening.
Well done for bringing it back.
He also doesn't find any gold, and he has to sell his yacht. Yes. And he decides to make his way back to the Isle of Wight. Now Sam's yacht, how does he get back to the island?
Well, I mean, he'd sell his yacht, buy a JCB, and dig for opal. If that's... if I know anything about Australia from from Quest TV, it's... it's that and some dynamite, and that's it, you're golden.
I do love having men on the podcast sometimes.
He's done that wrong. What he needs to do is...
We do get a lot more JCB mentions.
Yeah. Every question sometimes.
I'd say 100% more mentions to JCB.
Any advance on the man
someone
answer?
Someone try to sell him a Fiesta with differently shaped wheels.
Katie? The
sensible answer. He probably, like... gets like a job on a boat that's going back to the UK. But wouldn't it be more fun if he like mails himself or something?
Oh.
And then Faye finally gets onto the island and DHL cannot fucking deliver him.
That's a good guess though, a merchant.
What and then what? Do they just send it back?
Yeah. send it back to the depot. No, Melbourne. Truth is, I don't know. It's just in the thing it said that he goes back. So. I was wondering if you guys knew.
Like, it's that easy. Okay. Jesus, okay.
So he gets back to Ryde, and he finally decides on a job that keeps him on the island. It keeps him in Ryde. It's legal. Not a lot of jobs in Ryde are. And it's a very common job on the island because we have so many of them. What was it? What did he do?
Did he ride a moped?
Okay, a moped.
Loads of those fuckers. But like,
was he running a pub?
A pub.
Yeah. Oh, you're so clever. I'm just giving really wrong answers here.
Taylor, any advance on pub?
I was going to go back to fishermen.
Do you know what? Pub is correct. So, Mum and Katie. Yes.
All right.
Wow, we get rounds of applause for being right on the aisle. Okay. That's exciting.
I don't want any humour. I would want you to be correct.
I was doing neither. I need to up my game.
He owned the Gem Inn in Ryde, which was also known as the Undertaker's Arms, as it was so close to the cemetery.
Okay.
Bit of fun, bit of levity.
That's convenient for wakes. I bet they get a lot of wake business.
Great way to get over your bereavement, isn't it?
So he spends years running this pub, complaining about the price of brandy, telling endless stories about his smuggling days. He goes on and on and on. Then when they're in their 70s, we skip forward a few years, Jane, his wife, dies, presumably of boredom. Jane is dead. Captain Stallard is 74 years old. And this is where we finally get to the crime in this case.
Oh,
yeah, you might have been thinking.
I didn't realise there wasn't.
It wasn't even the smuggling. I figured it was the smuggling. But you've spoiled us tonight.
So, what happens next is someone else comes into James's life. It's a woman. Who is she?
Oh.
And what does she want?
Oh, shit. Is she from Shanklin? Those good for nothing Shanklin broads. I don't know anything about Shanklin.
Yes, there's a theatre in Shanklin. It's full of depraved women, also known as actors.
It's the end of the line on the tiny train you have. Good for nothing.
I reckon she's from Australia.
Oh, g'day.
Let's get some soap opera going. She's his long lost daughter. No, she's not his long lost daughter. She's his daughter. because he shagged around in Australia.
Oh, golly.
Nice.
Oh, I like that.
And she comes and she goes, you are my father.
Any advance on long-lost daughter?
I'm still reeling from a landlord complaining about the price of booze. Should be, surely it's his clients. A woman comes into his life. Is she a landlady?
Oh, were women allowed to own property? I mean, Isle of Wight, it was only about 6 years ago, wasn't it?
Has he, having a steady pub job, has he actually managed to put a bit of money aside and she's going to take him for all he's worth? Through a moida.
Bitches be crazy. Well, she is a 24-year-old called Mary.
Oh, so this is Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, she should have said that at the top.
And she wants Captain James's hand in marriage, and within 6 months of his wife's death, she gets it.
Oh, dear.
He is 74. And sorry, Tobes, if I die...
Stand out, though. What?
I'm just saying, if I die, you are not... Right, no.
No way in hell are you dying before me. Jesus Christ. So it's just not logical in any way whatsoever. No universe.
To be honest, though, like, I think that if you die at, like, 85, which I think is a nice age... I'm not, like, planning anything.
I have planned to die at 35 because then our child will be 34 and they'll be able to deal with it. Right. I'm going to bring them up. Your dad's going to die then. Have a date in the calendar and then they can just, like... live their life accordingly and appreciate me.
Do you think 34 is a good year for a child to lose its father?
I mean, could be younger.
We're going to be such good parents.
I'm going to try my best.
My question to you guys is, how long before you remarry if your husband's done? I'm only joking. Don't worry. So, back to Mary and Captain James. During the first few months of their marriage, something changes. What is it?
His diet, because she's poisoning him.
Uh-oh. Any advance on diet?
Where's that, your model village? I was there today. What's that town called?
Godshill.
Godshill.
Boy, you really have been living it up.
Do they decide to start the model village?
Nice.
Oh, someone's like, no.
What changed her attitude towards him or something within the marriage changed?
Well, it could be anything, Tobes.
Something changed.
Don't question the questioner.
I mean, what's changed? It'll be her entire personality because she was tricking him.
Yeah, and he's still not dead yet. Get on with it.
There's some con here.
Well, it is a bit of a con because what changes is Captain Stallard's will.
Oh.
It was made out in favour of his children and grandchildren,
but
Mary got it changed to her in favour of her. The couple apparently argued a lot, and a few days before the crime, one of these arguments got physical. And although physical abuse is not funny within a marriage, what happens between them is just so cartoonish.
Right, okay.
That I want to ask you, what do you think happens between these
anvil.
Two? Anvil. Anvil,
yeah.
Okay.
I was going to go frying pan. Yeah, or no, a huge... She sat him on a big rocket and lit the fuse. No, she painted. She painted a tunnel with a road going through it on a rock, and he ran straight into it. Genius!
is
it that?
Do you know what? I mean, there's just one line in a thing about this, but they had an argument, and Captain James threw Mary out of a window.
That is funnier. Yeah, I mean,
the thing is, that's only funny in cartoons.
I wasn't expecting a gasp, but now I feel terrible.
Ground floor, third floor? It gets funnier the higher you up.
I was going to say, it's only funny if it's a bungalow, actually.
Does she...
Take that!
It was a
velvet window in a bungalow.
In a skip full of banana skins.
Yeah, then a piano falls on her.
Yeah.
Well, I have no details of what happens other than he threw her out of a window. He must have been quite strong for 74. Or she must have been tiny, I don't know. Either way, Captain James. She survives, she's fine, but they start living in two separate apartments.
I mean, you would do.
Yeah. Back in the day when it was possible to find somewhere to rent on the Isle of Wight. Am I right? Yeah, it's political.
Preach. Preach.
So, on the night of the 7th of June, 1872, the crime happens. Now, any idea what the crime might be?
I have no idea the crime still hadn't happened. This is incredible.
I know, this is the most crime that we've had before the crime.
It's
a lot of illegal stuff has happened.
Yeah.
But like, brandy was trafficked at the start. That's like... what time of day?
It was the 7th of June, 1872.
Oh, I thought you said the time of day.
One of them is going to kill the other. It's just a matter of who.
Okay.
And I leave you with that.
Yeah, it feels like we're ramping up to a murder.
Name
Katie,
of your
Katie has resting sarcasm voice. It's like the best. I'm having a really great time.
Oh, mate. I've got it. Okay, I tell you what. No, because that wouldn't be a crime. I was going to say, okay, what I want to happen is an intervention where all the kids get together and go, look, Dad, we don't like this crazy lady. Change your will back because we want your money, please.
Oh, I'm interested in getting involved in that one. Do the kids kill her?
Ooh.
The kids who've been cut out of the will.
Yeah. So
the only way to get
her.
Back into the will is to get rid of her.
Yeah.
Wow. Do they even know, though?
Do they throw her out of a window?
Not again. It's getting old. I think if she has changed his will and gotten to the trouble that you would have to go to as a woman to change paperwork in that time, I think she kills him.
Oh, okay.
Because I think she's so invested. And she's been thrown out a fucking window. She's mad. This lady's mad.
Okay. I feel like she's owed something.
Yeah. I'm on her side, totally.
Well, she gets hers because that night, Mary visited James at midnight in his apartment. Then
dong.
Again,
dong.
We're gonna heal them all.
Dong. I'm gonna climb up the ladder now. Okay, go. Sorry.
Then again at 3 a.m.
Oh, what?
It's quicker.
Do the noises. People want it.
Oh, dong. I changed the note. That was weird. Dong.
And then she calls again at 5:30 a.m.
Dong. And a half.
And she finds Captain James, and I quote, stiff in death.
Ooh. Ooh, girl.
Okay. Maybe your sex tape.
Yeah. Finally.
Oh,
he's 74, but...
Oh, boy.
So, James's son immediately accuses Mary of murder, because you would. So an inquest is set for a couple of days later. Now, where does the inquest take place?
At a pub.
Which pub?
It really did?
What?
At the gym.
At the gym. At his pub.
Why not at the court?
Everything happened in pubs in the past. It's fantastic.
Yeah, they did loads of...
They need to bring this back. All of the cases we do that are old, it's like that. It was the court.
It's like, all right, board games is fun, but what about a court?
Most justice inventor is meted out in the Crab and Lobster. It's true. Yes, no, you're correct. Well done. Yay. Out in the back, in their little dark side alley.
Or the pub garden, as they call it.
Keep the noise down.
Yeah. Come on, Dave. It's not a garden, Dave. But
people outside of this island are going to love this episode. We'll just call it inside jokes. All the Americans are going, what's an aisle?
So, yes, the inquest in the pub. So Mary stood accused because not only was it suspicious, she'd visited three times in the night.
Yeah.
Also, she found the body.
Was she acting out Dickens? Or?
Yeah, exactly. He became a much better man.
Also, how do we know that she visited him three times in the night?
I think she admitted this. She said that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And she's changed the will. But also, because of something she said to Georgia Stallard, who was James's granddaughter, a day before the murder. What did she say to Georgia Stallard? I love it. I did it. This was the day before the murder.
Before the wedding.
We got the Isle of Wight's greatest detective in.
I never did it. What? I mean, no, I haven't done it yet. Nothing. I never did nothing yet.
Maybe she said, "Oh, he's looking a bit peaky."
Okay.
Did you say me and your grandfather are making stiff and death tonight? So stay away from the house and ignore all those.
We do it three times.
Ignore the film crew and the. Yeah.
Or maybe she said, "Don't come round."
Ooh, okay.
I think she said, "I'm gonna kill your father."
grandfather.
And his grandfather.
Grandfather. Yeah.
Well, apparently Georgia had been complaining about grandfather's moods, and Mary said to Georgia, "Oh, give him a penny worth of arsenic. I'll show you how."
Okay.
Yeah. So what do you think happens? Is she found guilty?
Well, do they find arsenic in the body?
Well, James's son does demand a post-mortem to be done on his father's body, but it doesn't happen.
But what a thing to say before. If you were planning to kill someone, you wouldn't say that the day before.
Very true.
I mean, I would find her innocent, but I feel that the Crab and Lobster found her guilty.
Well, it's
Swift, the authority of the Crab and Lobster.
Swift justice at the Crab.
It's sort of hiding in plain sight.
Would order.
She's either super cocky or possibly innocent, but she doesn't sound very innocent.
Okay.
Katie, you don't know
women. Her. Well, the judge decides against a post-mortem and says that he thinks Mary had made her comment in jest.
Good man. Judge Toby Williams presiding.
Just, I love that. Just like, she seems like a bit of a laugh, actually.
should be admissible.
Yeah.
Evidence for the defence.
Oh, had she moved on to the judge, though, do you think?
Oh.
Am I right? Once a slut. I speak from experience.
So Captain James's death was recorded as apoplexy, which is essentially a stroke. And Mary walks free with...
It is?
I think so.
Why was that? That just meant you're really surprised.
Yeah, and really angry.
No, he like died of being furious.
Whoa! Yeah.
He died of rage.
Oh, my God.
Mary walks free with all his money.
Whoa!
Yeah. So
why aren't the audience applauding? Well done, Mary. Well done.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, Hannah, that's not a crime.
You know what? Too right. Here's to marrying older men and killing them for their money. Cheers!
Yes. I haven't got any.
Oh, come on. You must get residuals on Specsavers.
No, not at all.
Not at all. I know. They pay it all up front.
I get like royalty. I've had like about 14p from Paddington at once. That was a great day.
You went out and got some sweets.
I went to the sweet shop and I stole, had to steal everything because nothing's 14p anymore. Unbelievable.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the moment in the show where we get someone up from the audience to tell us about a time they've been a victim of a crime. By a show of hands, has anyone, surely not on the Isle of Wight, been a victim of a crime?
Oh, hang on, down in front.
Everybody give her a round of applause!
Take the ladder.
Join us.
Tell me, what is your name?
Stacey.
Stacey. Now, Stacey.
Hi, Stacey.
Hello. Hi.
Welcome.
Oh, have you ever been? I'm absolutely shattered, actually. the victim of a crime.
I have, yes.
Go on.
So, I was a child.
Oh.
Right? And we came back home, and the house was a mess, and somebody had stolen my brother's shotgun.
Ooh.
And my mother's perfume.
Oh!
Hang on, you were a child and your brother had a shotgun.
Do I detect a North American accent? Yes!
It is a thing where I come from, yes.
Okay, wow. Where are you from?
Georgia.
Okay.
So your brother's my first shotgun. I didn't know Fisher-Price did shotguns.
My little shotgun.
They get them when they're 12.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so the house is a mess, and the shotgun...
is gone. Yeah.
I drinks. It's gone.
It's gone.
As well as?
As my mother's Jermaine Montiel perfume.
Who's Jermaine Montiel?
Well,
is
it was also
like
a thing.
Talk show host?
Do you mean like Montiel Williams? Word.
You get a shotgun.
It was expensive perfume.
Yeah, it's fancy, but my mum had sisters in America and they sent her one of them sent her perfume once and she guarded this perfume with her life. Like,
yeah, it was a pretty bottle. It had a little ball on the top, a little crystal ball.
Those are two interesting choices.
I know, though, right?
Was there nothing else missing?
No.
Oh.
The dog was really scared and under the bed.
Oh, what a shitty dog. No, you don't get a dog so they cower.
Oh, the dog was there the whole time.
Oh. It was a poodle.
Oh, okay.
A little one.
No, you're right. We shouldn't.
A miniature poodle.
Perfume and a Shotgun. That was the original name of Guns N' Roses, actually. It needs to be snappier, Axel.
It was good.
It's weird because it's those two things being missing makes it feel like they knew they were there and they were there for those things.
Yes.
The house was a mess.
We did worry about that. Yeah.
Like, so does that make you? Did you find them? Was it someone you knew? Did you find who it was?
Well, I think the police did, but I don't know much about that.
My
mother didn't tell us too much.
Oh, that feels like it was like your dad or something.
Yeah. Any other siblings? It feels like it was them.
I do have other siblings, but they weren't there. They didn't live with us.
That's interesting. Your mum.
Where in Georgia did you live? Were you in a city or is
Athens.
This country?
Athens, Georgia.
That's actually in Greece. My God, so thick.
Wow.
Did the police come around and do like prints and I just like
they did the whole thing and that was all very exciting.
Wow. When somebody steals two specific things from your house and nothing else, it means that they've been to your house before.
Was your brother just devastated because he had to walk all the way to Walmart to get another gun and bring it all the way back? And it took like 20 minutes.
He was bummed.
Daffy Duck shotgun.
Yeah, he was bummed.
No more shooting squirrels.
Wow.
Why do you... I can't say that on the island. Why? We love our squirrels. They're all fucking everything.
It would have been grey ones.
He didn't shoot squirrels. I'm just kidding.
They would have been shooting grey ones. The grey bastards. Hey. Oh my God.
He had to go back to the BB gun.
Okay.
Not the way I saw this going.
The culture wars have hit squirrels.
How old were you, if you don't mind me asking, when this happened?
I think I was about, he would have been 12, so I'd have been 14.
He was 12?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
No, he was 12. It's a thing.
What gun did you have?
A BB gun. Oh, yeah. Okay. Girls didn't get
like
shotguns.
Of feminism? Is
When did you get your first AR-15?
You're kind of anti-gun.
What about your first JCB?
Oh, you stole it. Solved.
Ooh, sending a message.
You wanted your brother's perfume and you wanted to get rid of your brother's gun.
I mean, we don't often like to accuse the victim.
Sorry. Sorry.
No.
You know I mean, the clues are there.
You just,
Lloyd Grossman said.
They did arrest someone, you think?
Yeah,
just don't know
they did find somebody.
They smelt really
Who did you fit up for?
Well, that was what we thought. We could follow the scent. Yeah. So my brother and I tried to kind of
a
see if we could
squirrel.
Discover.
We're using the useless poodle.
Well, we went around school sniffing people to see if we could
It's just such an interesting two items to take.
It's odd.
It's the sound of the theft.
I want to feel powerful, but also smell good.
Exactly. Who doesn't?
Oh, we can't ask for much more than that, can we?
No, that's a fascinating
tale. Well, I mean, apart from accusing you, apologies. I hope that is.
Yeah, I should apologise for that. Yeah. But all the clues were there, guys.
So
I think the audience is with me.
Do you live on the Isle of Wight now?
Yeah, we live in Vintner.
Oh wow, that's fantastic. How long have you been over here?
About a year, just over a year.
We should probably just take this backstage now. I've got so many other questions.
Why did you come to Vintner?
Wanted to live near the sea. Just always wanted
This is the best place in the world.
Oh, well, what a lovely way to end this. I hope that's given you closure. And here is your prize, a bottle of Prosecco.
Oh
yes, that's for you. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
What a beautiful story. It was definitely her, though.
We'll take this to the Crab and Lobster. So thank you so much for coming. Thank you to The Fringe for having us. And we've had a lovely time. I hope you have...
Oh, my God. I mean...
No!
I would love to see it, but I could not.
Cash on the stage. Let's see what happens.
Oh God. For the listeners, Taylor was going to climb the ladder, but now she's demanding cash.
And before this goes too far, I will bid you good night. Thank you very much, Vendor. We drank you so much.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.